This is Digital Story Podcast number 539, July 5th, 2016. Today's theme is Other People's Photos. I'm Derek Story. I was writing this post the other day about Flickr and looking at photos in my friends' feed. I started thinking about all the photography that I consume and the role those pictures play in my own work. I explore this idea in today's show. Other people's photos. When I was in college, I used to tutor others in English. Many of my students were engineering and science majors, hoping to pass a written skills test required to complete their curriculum. I noticed that those who read novels and literature frequently, or at least sometimes, had an easier time improving their writing skills. It seemed to me that reading good stuff added, at least subconsciously, the meter and syntax of our language. And I think there's something very real to this connection. In other words, people who read good stuff tend to find an easier path to writing good stuff. And, you know, the thing about writing is, it's like so many other things, photography. I'm going to draw parallels between writing and photography during this whole segment. And the thing about writing is you can write and get, you know, the structure right, subject, verb, you know, kind of a sentence there. And technically you're correct, and possibly no one would want to read it because it just doesn't have life. It doesn't have meter. It doesn't sing to the reader. And then you can write and you can use those same words and the reader is turning page after page of what you've created. I think this is true in photography also. And I think the parallel really stands up. I mean, what I learned years ago working for the university, which was a really cool job in those days, we were actually hired by the state. I was going to a state university and the state hired us to do this. We had to qualify. I was an English major and a design minor. Said, hey, this is a great way to earn money, right? Now, you know, the other thing that I did, of course, was I mowed lawns. But we'll get to that later. At any rate, I really learned a lot of things about how to become a better artist in those days as a college student. And I saw that parallel. So what did I used to do? I used to encourage my students, the ones that I had, especially over the course of a semester, to start reading. If you're not reading, start. Pick up a novel. Find something that you're interested in. And start getting the essence of the language in your brain. It'll make it a lot easier to write. All right, so now let's move that over to photography. Photography can be a very inwardly focused endeavor. I think we all know that. You know, we obsess over all these things, the details of our equipment, and then pixel peeping and post-processing with our nose right up against the computer screen. And then, you know, perfect alignment in our compositions, you know, all this sort of stuff. Yet a lot of great artists over the years have really ignored a lot of these things that we worry about and just went out and made great images. Now, you could argue there's all sorts of reasons why they could do that. Natural talent. They had their own philosophy for photography. They were in the right place at the right time, given the right opportunity. All these factors are there. And we may or may not have access to any of these factors or all of them, but we may have access to some of them over time. But we can learn from how they took advantage of whatever opportunities they had, whatever skills they were born with, by studying their work, by looking at their images. And much in the same way that if we read good stuff, the odds of us writing good stuff increase, I think it's true for photography. If we study good images, then the odds of us improving our photography and making better images increase. So I've got 5 different ideas here to help along that path. And I'm sure you're surprised that I have five. Five is my magic number. Have you noticed? Many of you have been listening to this podcast for a long time. Have you ever noticed? I mean, this would be a good trivia question, right? Whenever I do these bits, it's usually five. Why five? I know this is a digression, okay? So we're going to put a bookmark. We'll get back to the subject, I promise. Why five? Well, you know, when I was working for O'Reilly Media, the big thing they always wanted us to write was, you know, the top 10 reasons to do this, top 10 reasons for that, top 10 tips, all that stuff. They love top 10, top 10, which was cool. And they were right. Whenever I do a top 10 piece, that piece usually did pretty well. But I thought 10 was too long for most topics. Really, I mean, you know, I always felt like by the time you got around six or seven, you're really starting to dig, right? You're down there at the bottom of the barrel and you're saying, okay, what else is there? And I always felt like the best tips were the first five. And I just felt like five works. You know, five is, there's enough breadth there, right? So that, you know, you're exploring whatever subject you're talking about in some detail. But it's not so many that I start to lose you. So that's why five. Plus, it's an odd number. I like odd numbers compared to even numbers. I'm rarely going to give you four tips or two tips. See, already, doesn't that just feel kind of like, ooh, what's wrong? But three tips or five tips? No, okay, that's interesting. I'll admit, this could be totally my own weirdness, all right? You may be going, you know, I'd really like to hear the topic, Derek. Okay, so let's get on to the topic itself. Five. These are five things that I think can help improve our language of photography. First, study books published by great photographers. And this is really neat. And what I love about this is that you get a dual experience. Find a used bookstore. And used bookstores are just really great places to hang out anyway. I mean, I love to go there just for the way they smell, right? There's something about a used bookstore. The minute I could be blindfolded, I could walk into one. I go, I'm in a used bookstore. But at any rate, they always have these photography books by all the masters. You know, no matter who you like, W. Eugene Smith, Mary Ellen Mark, whomever. Go to that section and browse through those books and buy a couple of them and take them home. And the thing that I like about these types of photography books is that those images were curated. This is different than an Instagram feed where it's just kind of blah. Now, I'm not dissing Instagram. I'm just saying Instagram isn't appropriate for what I'm talking about right now. And it's a lot of the imagery we consume is through those sort of things. But in a photography book, let's say W. Eugene Smith, believe me, he and whomever he worked with sweated over which images are going to be included and which ones were going to be left behind. So what you're looking at is a work of art in the sense that all these images he felt at that moment when he was producing that book told the story that he wanted to tell in the best way possible. And I think that's what makes photography books a bit different. And the fact that you can go to a used bookstore and pick these things up and bring them home, I mean, that is found treasure. And I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. I have a stack of them here. And believe me, there are days when I'm just going, I'm not feeling it. And I pull out that stack of books and I'll just start flipping through one. And right away, I can start to feel, you know, the embers starting to glow. It's just like a puff of air on embers that kind of bring the flame up. Photography books, great way to go. Take in a daily dose of Explore on Flickr. Now, this is different, but still good. I think what's neat about Explore is a tab in the top nav bar of Flickr where Flickr, through its magic secret sauce, is choosing what they consider the best photographs of the day and putting them in this section called Explore. And those of you that peruse it, you know what I'm talking about. This is cool stuff. Now, the thing that I like about Explore compared to the photo books is this. explore is contemporary. So this is what's happening now. And however they're picked, is it computer algorithm? Is it editor? Is it both? You know, we don't really know. I don't know anyway. You might know. If you know, tell me, because I'd love to know. But however that happens, it's very modern. And that gives you a chance to see, in terms of modern photography, what is appreciated and what is held in, you know, somewhat high esteem compared to all the other millions of shots that are published. And I think it's really worthwhile to take a look at those shots and see what those photographers are doing and think about, why is this photographer in this image being featured right now? What are they doing that gets the attention of whatever the secret sauce is on Flickr Explore? I think it's a good thing to add to your visual language. Next one, follow your friends. And here's the thing about following friends that I like. I follow friends on Flickr, on Instagram. And the thing that I like about that is that, and that's what started this whole thing. I was writing about the friends feed on Flickr. And the thing that I like about it, and the reason why I put it in this list, is because if you have a friend that does a shot that you really like, you have access to that person to find out more. You know, on Explore, you may be able to put a comment and the person may comment back, but it's going to be short, if they comment back at all. And obviously, you can't, you know, sit down and talk to W. Eugene Smith about why he chose those images for his book, but a friend that you follow in Flickr or 500 Pics, whatever, you can say, I love that shot that you did. Tell me about it. Tell me more about it, because I want to understand, you know, what you did to produce this image. So with friends who produce great work, and a lot of our friends do, right? You have access in a way that you don't with these other methods that I'm talking about. And it gives you a chance to learn more. And the other thing that I do is, and I mentioned this in the article too, is I look at the metadata. I look at the metadata. That gives me some of the technical components of the shot. But I want to talk to him about the other part, because it's the secret sauce that separates a lot of times a great photograph from an average one. Next one, number four, visit galleries and museums. I really understood the importance of this when I was in college. Because I was a design minor, I took a lot of art history classes. And I love them. I love them. They opened my eyes to the world of art in ways that, I mean, I had never thought about before. And what we used to do is that we would study particular period of art or particular group of artists in the classroom, learn about this, look at the pictures in our books, and then we would go to a museum, and whatever museum was within reach that featured some of the pieces that we were studying, we would look at them in the museum. And the difference between seeing a painting, let's say a Picasso, in a book, and then staring at it on a wall in a museum was huge. It was absolutely huge. The difference, the gap of the experience was vast. And I learned so much, I won't say so much more than studying it in the book and everything, because I learned a lot. But there was like another facet. And I think it was the emotional component that really pulled me in when I saw it in real life. And then, because I was emotionally hooked by standing there before it, more details were revealed to me about how this work was created. This experience played out the same over and over again. Studying a book, learn about it, go see it in real life, boom, major impression. So I think this is true for photographs also. And so I started going to galleries and museums, especially when they were featuring photographers that I really admired. And I had the same experience. I would see them in a book. I would do all this. I would go see the photographs. And, you know, sometimes the experience was, wow, I mean, that the whites in that picture are a lot more yellow than I thought. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not always totally positive. Sometimes you're going, wow, I think I like the book version better. Regardless, though, I saw the photograph in a different way, and I just felt like I learned more about the image when I saw it hanging on a wall. Because you have all the other parts that the artist is putting together. You have how he or she really printed it, how it's matted, how it's displayed, you know, all that kind of stuff. Really interesting. And I feel like that looking at photography in a museum or a gallery, again, expands my photographic language, my visual language. Last one, and this is sort of related to number four, print your own work. Because here's really a funny thing. If you print your own work and you put it on the wall or you have it laying around, and you know I talk about this all the time, but if you do that, you will learn stuff about your photography that you never knew before. And you actually can learn lessons about your photography through a print, and you go, wow, I didn't know that I actually did that, or I could do that, or I had the ability to do that. And you start to see a nuance in a print that you're living with, right? Because it's on the wall or it's on the coffee table. And then you go, you know, I need to do that more often. That thing that I am seeing in this print, I really like that. And I think that is a good thing. You can learn from yourself by printing your work in ways that you never can looking at your image on an iPhone screen or a tablet or even a computer. You can become your own teacher. So think about these things. Think about printing your own work, visiting galleries and museums, following friends and really looking at their stuff and communicating with them about what they're doing. Taking a look at the contemporary stuff that's doing well on Flickr Explore. And you've got to go to an old bookstore, get some photography books, make a nice morning of it, then stop and have a cup of coffee somewhere and flip through the book. Really make an experience out of it and then bring that book home and have that part of your library. Do these sort of things, and I think that your visual language will go to another place and you'll continue to evolve and probably evolve at a faster rate than you are now. I'm really excited about this. I hope you take this to heart and give it a try. In the news, iFi to see support for Pro X2 and earlier generation cards. And this particular bit was reported by DP Review. So I'm just going to read you the piece and then I'll comment on it. iFi will soon end support for its X2 and older wireless memory cards, services, and apps, according to a notice sent to customers today. Citing security concerns, the company will complete the end-of-life stage on September 16, 2016, by ending server support. The cards will still function at that point, and certain wireless transfer modes may still work, but their associated apps and services won't offer full functionality. iFi is offering to move customer data to its newer cloud service and will sell affected customers new cards at a discount. Mobi, Mobi Pro, and iFi Cloud are all unaffected. So the technology side of me understands what they're doing here, but I have to say this is rough. I mean, this is rough for people that are using iFi cards, because the older ones, I have the X2, and I have some that are older than that too, and they work fine. I mean, it's not like they wear out or anything. And I use them in cameras, some of my older digital cameras that I really love. My Fujifilm X20 coming to mind is my primary camera that I really like having those cards with, because it doesn't have Wi-Fi capability built in. So the fact of the matter is that those cards are not bricked, maybe, but you have to get them configured, because you use the server, the iFi server, to get them configured. You have to get them configured before September, and then however you configure them for any sort of direct transfer or anything, that's it. You're locked in, and you're not going to be able to change it after that. I guess technology marches forward, and I guess these things have to happen, but I feel bad for folks that are using those older cards, and you know, maybe they'll cut a sweet deal to move up to a Mobi, but I can't help to think that this is probably going to hurt their business a little bit. The Nimble Photographer Podcast and Patreon. This is something I have been chomping at the bit to talk about. So I'm going to give you just like the 30,000 foot level thing, and then I'm going to give you the backstory. The 30,000 foot level thing is that I have set up an account on Patreon to support the digital story, the analog story, and the nimble photographer. And as part of that, folks that join this will have access to a new podcast called the Nimble Photographer Podcast. And that podcast is only for those people. It's not going into iTunes. It's not going into Google Play Music. Not going anywhere else. It lives on a season, a page that I've created behind a password, and it's only for Patreon members. Okay, so that's the 30,000 foot level view on this. Now, let me tell you the backstory. About a year ago, you probably remember me talking about joining TWIP Network, Frederick Van Johnson and Company. And Frederick and I had been talking about me becoming part of TWIP. And originally, he approached me and wanted the digital story on the TWIP Network. And I just wasn't ready to do that. I don't think I'll ever be ready to do that. So what I said was, no, not so much with the digital story, but I have this other podcast that I've wanted to do that I think would be a nice addition to TWIP because it's so much different than everything else you guys are doing. And I explained to him about the Nimble Photographer Podcast. And he loved the idea, and I loved the idea. And so we started working toward that goal. And, you know, there were a lot of moving parts involved. And part of it was he was trying to build an ad-supported thing on TWIP. And there was the production of it and the continuity among the shows and, you know, all sorts of goodies there. Me leaving slots in the show for ad insertions. And so we're kind of working away on that. Meanwhile, while we were working away on all those details, I was writing and recording shows. And I wanted a show that was different than really anything else out there in photography podcast land. And basically, what I was doing is I would go through the Nimble Photographer Journal, you know, that I publish regularly, and I would find two or three along a theme. And I was very much inspired by This American Life for this part of it and by the work that Ira Glass does. And I love the idea of picking two or three topics and pulling them together in a show. So I would do that. I'd pull together two or three, and then I'd write the whole show, write the whole thing out. And so I would actually read the piece, and then I would talk about it. And then sometimes if there had been comments on the piece, I would lead off with the comment, you know, from someone that commented on that particular journal entry, then do the journal entry and then talk about. And I wanted to create something that was in the spirit of This American Life, but with a photography focus. And then along those same lines, another influence was Paul Harvey. And I love the way Paul Harvey used to tell stories. So this is what I wanted to create, and I worked toward it, and I created four episodes. And they're done. They're in the can. Music, segues, the whole bit. And so I had these, and I was sitting on these while Frederick and I were trying to work out the other details. Well, as it turned out, Frederick kind of changed directions a little bit with TWIP Network, and we never really could seal the deal. You know, no hard feelings. Frederick and I just had breakfast in Chicago when we were out of Chicago, and, you know, everything's fine. We just couldn't finalize this one project that we wanted to work on together. And so, you know, I already knew that that wasn't going to happen months ago. So I've been thinking about, well, what am I going to do with these shows? I want to do something with them, but I want it to be special because that was always the intent, to do something special. And then it dawned on me. The whole idea is that if we set up a way to support everything through Patreon, like $5 a month through Patreon, then I can have these shows just for those folks. And I go, that is the kind of special thing that I was looking for. So what we've done is that the Patreon account, the Patreon page, you can get, if you're already a Patreon member, then you can just search on The Digital Story and it'll show up. Or it's at, you know, patreon.com, and that's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/ The Digital Story, all one word. So it's easy to get to. Obviously, I have the link in the show notes, as I always have the links to everything in the show notes. So you can just go to the show notes if you want and click on the link. But it's easy. Patreon.com/thedigitalstory. So if you go there and you do your pledge that supports all the sites, all of our sites, then in the thank you, you'll get a thank you right away. And it'll give you the URL and the password to the season of The Nimble Photographer. Now, I have the first show there right now. You can listen to the first show. And then every 2 weeks, so the next few weeks, show two will show up in 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks after that, show three. And 2 weeks after that, show four. They'll all be there on this one page. You can go there whenever you want because you'll have the password. I put a download button on there. So you can either listen to the show on the page or you can download it. You can have the MP3 file and you can put it on your mobile device or do whatever you want with it. So I thought what I'd do, and I think this is going to be fun, I'll play the opening for the first episode of the Nimble Photographer podcast right now. So I'll just kind of play the little intro piece so you can kind of hear the music and you kind of hear the vibe about it. And then, I don't know, I'm hoping you'll get excited about it. Okay, so, all right, so here's the intro to Season 1, Episode 1 of the Nimble Photographer podcast. I've had this ongoing conversation with my dad for years. He starts out, "Some friends were asking me about you the other day and wanted to know what it is you do. I had no idea how to answer them." I tell my dad the same thing every time, but it never seems to stick. I'm a writer, photographer, teacher, and podcaster. "But what is your calling?" he would insist. "Well, if I had to pick just one, I would say that I'm a writer." Tell your friends that's what my calling is. All right, there you go. And what follows, by the way, the podcasts are about 25 minutes on this particular show. And these shows, they don't have any ad spots in them. They don't have any, there's no sponsors, there's no anything. These shows are just, you know, pure show because of the way that we're doing, you know, as part of the Patreon thing, then that frees me up and I don't have to do anything else with them. So it's just a pure show. I hope you check it out. Go over to patreon.com/thedigitalstory. Get your hands on this podcast. And then the next episode will go up July 15th. Okay. All right. That's the second episode. All right. I hope you enjoy it. Like I said, I'm really jazzed about it. Let's wrap up here. I just want to mention my good friends over at Red River Paper, who I have been contacted with. They're really excited about how things went in Chicago. I was the first speaker that they've ever sponsored to do what we did in Chicago. So this was a big experiment for them and, you know, a bit of a risk for them too, not knowing how it would go. So when I got to write the report to them, because they weren't there, it was just me representing them. When I got to write the report to them that the room was filled on both days and people were excited about this idea of firing up their printer again and producing some of these things I was talking about, I could just tell they were so pleased about this. Because this is something that they feel in their heart all the time, right? So then to have that message get out and have other people, you know, feel that spark, that was very exciting to them. And hopefully we're going to have more of that. And I might bring them in on this idea. For those of you that have been following online, I wrote a journal entry in The Nimble Photographer, and I'm thinking about doing these one-day workshops all over the U.S., where I'm hosted, and then I just come into town and we do a one-day workshop. We keep it affordable and really have a lot of fun. And I'm thinking that, you know, maybe they'll want to get in on that. We'll wait and see. But at any rate, it's great to have a partner like Red River Paper, who's passionate about photography the way that I am and the way all of you are. And I just want to give them a big thanks for the whole Out of Chicago experiment. It thumbs up. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. You can just click on it, and you can go right to our landing page there and, you know, score printing supplies. I'm just getting ready to order some ink right now from them. You can get paper, cards, ink, all that kind of stuff. And then they also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. That is going to do it for today. A lot of stuff today, huh? Yeah, I know. We're just rolling through the summer here, aren't we, at breakneck speed. Not slowing down. No summer vacations here, by golly, I'll tell you that. So anyway, I'm working on some terrific stuff for next week. I hope you come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. Those of you that live in the U.S., I hope you had a good 4th of July celebration. That's when I'm recording this. I'm recording in the morning on 4th of July. I'm going to wrap this up here in a few minutes. And then I'm heading off to the barbecue, and I'm going to celebrate our Independence Day, too. Until next week, take care. Be safe. Go over to the Patreon site, and I'll see you here. Bye-bye now.